Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, the news is there is no change in our government. There is no change in the politicians. I look at some of the state assemblies, or I should say legislatures, that are coming together, and it seems like the old Who song, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. They may be electing new names to basically change the focus on, we have new leadership. The new leadership that I'm seeing getting into place, unless you have good news that we at least have a state where good leadership is being put into place, because I'm hearing that in the dark red states, it is just more rhinos that are getting placed into leadership, which means that as long as they have rhinos in leadership, they will be able to bury and or at least try to bury and obfuscate the good bills and the good efforts of good constitutionalists. This is unacceptable. We need to actually, so I take it back. In Wyoming, we've got Beau Biteman in the House, but Driscoll, who is a hardcore rhino, and actually, he is one that, because we talked about this in this past year when we were talking to Tom James, who ended up losing his seat because Driscoll and others created a very concentrated effort in his Senate district to unseat him. See, this goes back to how important it is to making all elections local. You know, if we can keep these nefarious players, and if we can keep everything focused on the Constitution. See, this is how, and most people say, well, hey, GR, when you're talking about elections, how are you not influencing the election? I'm only influencing the election in the focus of the Constitution. In other words, they're supposed to be supporting the Constitution, not the names, the players, the party, the ideology, the subcommittees, these dark groups, they got to be one of them. You know, they have to know the secret handshake to be able to get into leadership or to be able to get into office. We got to stop that, folks. We got to stop that. And as a matter of fact, one of the best ways to actually undermine your election is to bring in the paradigm, he's not from here. In other words, this guy came from California, and so we can't trust him because he's not from Wyoming. He's not from South Dakota. He's not from Iowa. He's not one of us. And I'm telling you, folks, that is the most dangerous paradigm you can get, because that all of a sudden, that goes down the line of Nazism, because Nazism was all about nationalism. And if you look at states being sovereign states, then it's supporting this concept of, well, you got to be a true Iowan. You got to be a true Wyomingite. You have to be a true Montanian. I mean, you have to be born here for us to really support you, because they'll use anything they possibly can to pick you apart. And so that's how we're different. We're not using anything to pick people apart. We're actually standing on the Constitution and making sure their positions are constitutionally aligned and that they're committed. They're committed to actually supporting the Constitution. Now, Driscoll, this this vile creature that somehow got elected by the corrupt Senate in Wyoming, is pushing everybody to sign a resignation letter if they don't do what he wants. And I'm okay with resignation letters. You know, let Driscoll put his money where his mouth is. Getting a little ahead of myself. Let him put his money where his mouth is, because I only ask that everybody support the Constitution fully. Anybody who fails to support the Constitution, in other words, if we bring a bill that demands full compliance of the Constitution in the Wyoming Senate this coming session, will Driscoll resign his position if he fails to support that bill getting to the floor and support the voting for and passage of that bill? If he doesn't, then he is violating his oath of office, because near as I can tell, when he puts his arm to the square and says, I will support, defend, and obey the Constitution of the United States, and then he has a bill in his hands that demands the full enforcement and full compliance to the Constitution, and he says, oh, I'm not going to pass this because we're doing that. No, you're not. And as a matter of fact, we can prove that they're not. And as a matter of fact, this is where Driscoll has to be. This is where we really put the pressure on him. But that's another issue for another day. As you know, you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solution. And this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. And I don't know, folks, if you don't get it, if you don't understand why all of my monologues basically kind of point to, you know, these brick walls, these walls of China around America today. Well, these walls of China have been put here to basically destroy us, and it's now or never. If you can't recognize these types of things in your local politics, whether that be in your county or what have you, I have to tell you, I'm really, really, really disappointed. And it's my bad, completely my bad, because obviously I got the day wrong. I was supposed to meet with the Eastern Washington County Commissioners and didn't get a chance to do that. And so we will square this away, because I had it on the wrong day. And the day I was calling up to coordinate, I was told, are you going to be here? Because I was scheduled that day. And I'm going, hold on here. Anyway, so I'm taking full responsibility, full accountability. My bad. I will be there with bells on, regardless of what it takes, you know, to do to clear the snow, because we're getting a lot of snow here. And so it looks like it's going to be a white, thick white Christmas this year. So with that, let me just kind of move forward in what we really need to talk about. We need to talk about Republic Review. And we need to take back our governments, and that's the next follow-on to Republic Review. See, Republic Review is the end of what we need to be fighting for. It is the final coup d'etat. It is the ultimate and final battle that will actually end government tyranny in the United States and restore our self-government back to the people, the states, and the counties. We've been subverted, and over time, it's all been subverted and perverted over the past two centuries. Because as soon as I told you that the cabals existed when the Constitution was created, and the federal government, for the most part, was set as it set sail, it did a really decent job in fighting off the new cabal that was created at the national level. So you see, the committees or the Continental Congress did not have a cabal, or it was hard to establish a cabal because they had no power. And as soon as the power to tax was injected into our federal government, this is where they could get away with corruption and so forth, if they could actually fool the people of the type of government they have and the type of powers that they have. Now, the reality is we have the safest government of all. All we have to do is understand what kind of government we have. And once we understand the enumerated powers, this concept of a power of attorney, constitution, or a compact, and who the stakeholders or who the principal parties are to this compact, then it becomes very clear what we have and what we need to do. So as we kind of move forward in talking what we're talking about, one of the things that keeps on just smacking me on my backside is it seems like more and more people, and they're getting smart because either they're listening to this show or they're listening to other people. And I think in some cases it's been cited that Paul Venable is one of those guys that was miscited to say the least And so we want to make sure that you really do understand where we're standing. Now, before I dive into Republic Review, before I dive into taking back our government, I want to be very, very clear because, you know, I really don't care what you call your local community, what you call your county organization, your state organization. But I do care if you use a name or term that is considered a shadow government. Now, some people have heard, and some people have finally gotten, because I've railed on this for the past 2 years, that committees of safety is a very dangerous term because it is and was a shadow government that was established under the monarchy government that was controlling America at that time. But it doesn't stop there, folks. See, there's these other new waves that have been hitting, and they're all over the place, and they're called assemblies. Now, if you go back to the Tory Acts identifies and speaks to, because you got to understand, Continental Congress, as it formed, was a shadow government before it became a legitimate government. And it's the same thing with these, and this is how, well, when we come back, I'll go through the different titles of the different organizations that were established throughout the states. And so as we look at these organizations, you're going to find that, oh my gosh, oh, I can't believe it. You know, these people are using that same term. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so the origins, just to be clear, the origins of these committees and the origin of Continental Congress in 1775 was clearly a shadow government. We had yet to even sign off on and promulgate this thing called the Declaration of Independence. This is why I go through the Tory Acts, usually in January. This past year, I wasn't able to do it because we just had a lot of other content. But it's not that it's not important. You have to understand that the Continental Congress, when they formed in October of 1775, or actually they formed before that, but they made an initial correspondence out to the states or out to the colonies, and say, and so this is what they said. This was on October 6th, 1775. Resolved that it be recommended to the several provincial assemblies, conventions, and councils or committees of safety. So in other words, there was these organizations called assemblies or assemblies of safety or conventions of safety, because each colony in each area, regional area, wanted to use a different name. That's okay, right? I don't care about the name. We just want to make sure that that name doesn't specify or point to a shadow government historically. It doesn't mean that that's what you're doing, but you know what? You're only making it easier for the evil people to come along and say, ah, look at these people that are using these assemblies of safety, whatever you want to call them, councils of safety, provincial areas of safety, communities of those types of anything referencing assemblies, conventions, councils, or committees of safety, or communities of safety, those types of things, stay away from them. Because if they can connect the dots to go, oh, historically, this is what the revolutionaries used to overthrow the government. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm telling you, it's just like Nancy Pelosi and Congress claiming to use Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. They can't without burning their hands and their butts. And I say that because they're in violent violation of the Constitution, and they are far more guilty of violating Section 3 of the the 14th Amendment than anybody else that they want to use that against. They're only using it as this is how progressives work. They use the tools and they try to create this public campaign, this public relations campaign to say, oh, look how evil these January 6ers are because they came from assemblies or committees of safety or what? And what is that? What is committee of safety? Just imagine, you know, your nightly mainstream media news educating the electorate, the people in your community about these assemblies. And I'm going to tell you, folks, it won't take long. Because people, we have been nationalized on a tyrannical government instead of nationalized on a constitution. The reason I'm going down this path is because we were talking about that creature, that public servant called Driscoll in the Senate who now has become the president, and how he wants to say he wants to stand on the high road, but he's standing in the full flood of hypocrisy. And so when we look at, and when I start hearing that these assemblies are basically popping up everywhere, what that means is they're fooling you. What that means is they've got you to buy into some concoction because they're using these terms. Get rid of these associations. Because anybody that's using these associations and anybody that's going down the sovereign citizen movement, I can't express enough how concerned I am for you. And I know that there's the people that know more than I do. Oh, well, you just don't know, GR. You know, I do. And everybody that becomes a sovereign citizen loses their constitutional rights. You have gone through the legal process of divorcing yourself from the protections that that Constitution guarantees to U.S. citizens. That Constitution does not guarantee government the power that it's exercising. They have usurped that power from the people in the states in convincing them to say they can do it. All we have to do to stop it all and shut it all down and say, where did this power come from? Obviously, it's not an amendment. Obviously, we've never delegated this, and clearly it states right here that the only way you can do this is by an amendment. Sorry, we're shutting you down. And if you have a problem with that, that's okay. We can let you go back to the private sector and do all sorts of good things in making money because you're not making money at our expense anymore. Folks, we have all the power. We really do. And we really care about you. I don't care about whether you're making money, whether you're aggrandizing yourself. If you're a person of character, you shouldn't care about that either. You should only care about stopping tyranny and tyrannical government, and every patriot has a responsibility of doing that. Every person that understands their responsibility as a U.S. citizen, because we're all under oath to support that Constitution, whether you've taken it or not. It's a requirement of every U.S. citizen. Oh, well, you think it isn't? Well, go to look at your state constitution and find out if your state can actually come to your door and call you up and say you need to serve in the militia, and whether they can compel you to do that or not, because they can. And the one thing that they can compel you to do is to support that constitution. But you know what? They'll never do that. That's why they're creating standing armies to support their laws, their color of law, and the laws that they want to oppress you with. That's why they're creating professional armies to actually enforce laws that violate your rights. Oh, then you can't enforce the Constitution. You actually have to take on them. Folks, they have perverted the system so badly. And this is why we've written these articles, and I'm still struggling getting that one article done. What we need to do is we need to, you know, kind of find the time. And usually in the summertime is when I find the time to do that. It's just I get really busy this time of year because this is where we're getting ready for session. And between now, and most people think, oh, well, now that the election is done, you know, we got a little month of reprieve. No, we got bills to get ready. We've got to have a meeting to make sure everybody understands this. And so there's a few things I need to do. There's a letter I need to get out for the committee that we have in Wyoming, the Committee for Republic Review. There's also a committee in South Dakota that I need to get this letter to, so that everybody understands that we have to put it all on the line this coming session. And what I mean by this is we need to let everybody know that, and we need to create a huge PR campaign. If somebody can come up with the money to fund advertisements so everybody understands that these bills that we're introducing are bills that demand constitutional compliance. In other words, they demand that our public servants live up to their oath of office and that they constrain themselves to the enumerated powers only, that they stop using tyranny and stop using political compromise and latitude to be able to oppress us. We have all the power to do this, folks. We just need you to start demanding it. And then the way you're going to demand this is by using First Amendment petitions. But we're going to get into all of that. The whole point is, and the only reason I went down this rat hole on the Tory Acts was to point out that right here in the very beginning, they identified their origins. Continental Congress's origins came from these provincial assemblies, conventions, and councils or committees of safety. Okay? So when we look at anybody that is forming an organization, a patriotic movement, a grassroots movement that uses those terms, and you get involved in it, don't tell me that you weren't warned. I have made explicit and very clear instructions that this is and can be labeled and connected to what we would call a shadow government, an unauthorized government. And under our Constitution, this would be insurrection. We want patriots to support the Constitution, not a different government. All we have to do is assert our constitutional rights, and we'll get into that. But before we do, what we want to do is we want to get into Republic Review. Now, I look at the clock. I've got barely a minute to go. So Republic Review, and the reason we cover this now is because Republic Review is literally an extrapolation from what Jefferson and Madison did. And so the process of forming Republic Review, because some of the stuff we didn't really understand, not that I didn't understand, it took me a while to figure out how to get the the water to run through all the cracks, or better yet, how to follow the air out of a containment area. And what I mean by that is there have been cases where somebody, you know, could figure out how to get out of a maze, you know, like an underground maze of caverns and what have you, by following the draft of air, because that draft of air that goes through that cavern goes from one source out the other end. And so if you could follow that smoke, if you can follow that lead, if you can follow where the water runs, you'll make it to the ocean, right? That's what you'll find at a river. If you follow the river, any creek, you get to it, and you follow that, it will take you to an ocean or to a lake, and usually that's where you'll find more people if you're trapped in the wilderness. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we've already covered the resolutions of 1798, 1799, and Madison's both report and notes on nullification, we just covered this stuff. So as we went through that, I kind of helped you look at the macro view, because I told you this is Republic Review. When we've extrapolated, when I actually sat down with other people and I looked at what we were trying to do, and then we started comparing what Republic Review was and what Madison and Jefferson were doing, they were almost perfectly dovetailed. I mean, there were some things that we were missing. And so some of those things was, you know, focusing on, you know, starting at the states, working and collaborating of the states themselves and how to do that. The audit process was very simple. As a matter of fact, what do you do when a contract is being violated? What do you do when your contract, you and a couple of you create an agreement, your neighbors create an agreement for somebody to come and plow your driveways and your street that you live on, because the city, county, or whomever won't give you that kind of infrastructure support. So you create a collective or a small little compact, and you pool your money together, and you hire somebody based on that compact to do a very specific job, to do something for you and everybody else on that street, to plow your street and clear it from snow. you've created a compact, and in that compact, you then went out and hired a specific person to satisfy that. Now, some people will make the mistake of going straight out and just hiring somebody and getting everybody else to pitch in. That's a mistake. What you want to do is you want to make sure all the parties are equal participants, because what will happen is if you create this compact and you have somebody and on the street that does not you know, want to pay, then would you not plow their part of the street? Because that really creates this anxiety, animosity. It just creates tension, and it creates contention in the neighborhood when you actually have somebody that's not or can't do it. And so there's people that are not willing to do it. There's people that aren't, that can't do it. So what do you do? You know, you've got out of 10 people on the street, two of them can't do it just because they don't have the money at that point in time or what have you. And so you say, okay, we want to do this, but we understand you can't pay for it right now, so we're going to cover your costs. But we ask every year that you pay, you know, your share. And so if you accept that as a compact, then what can happen is down the road, three or four people will all of a sudden, you know, they lose their jobs or they don't, you know, they have financial hardships because they're not great financial managers like you. Next thing you know, you now have a real problem because you've got more people that are not committed legally to supporting that because you've made a clause that, you know, we're just going to bill everybody an equal share. And those who can't, then it goes back to either you or whomever to make up the difference. And then what will end up happening is the whole compact falls out. Because bottom line, if the compact is breached by one, it's been breached and completely breached by all. And so what I mean by that is even though one person may violate the compact, if the compact is contingent upon the whole, in other words, the entire neighborhood being able to provide the certain amount of money and getting that on time and so forth, then okay, then that's great. Now we have a documentation of who is supposed to be paying, who doesn't pay, and that type of stuff. But bottom line, what ends up happening is when one person doesn't pay and you have no recourse of forcing that or making that person pay, then what do? Either you maintain and keep covering for that person or you absolve the compact and you start over again. But that's the same thing if you go and hire somebody and then just hope that everybody reimburses you. And if you don't have a legal recourse, then, you know, basically you have to suck it up and say, I'm doing this for the street. I'm doing this for the community. I'm giving this to the community instead of the community actually taking care of itself. Because if the community is taking care of itself, then everybody else is taking. Now, obviously, these people that aren't paying to have their driveways, you know, as well as the streets, obviously they're not going to have their driveways cleared. So that may be a problem. Now, it's a real problem if the driveways are long. If the driveways are a standard rural, or I should say suburban area where it's only 20 feet long, then that may not be that big of a deal. But if it's 200, 300, 400 feet, or maybe a quarter mile, then now you've got a significant exertion of money that you're paying for somebody to do that. If you're not, then you have to do that, and it becomes that type of issue where somebody has to make the conscious decision whether it's worth having the service or whether they do it. Now, to be all in all honesty, I live in an area where we kind of collectively pay to have our street plowed. I'm not impressed with the street plowing, but the fact of the matter is I have my own tractor and I clear my own driveway. Now, we don't have driveways cleared. It's just the street. And there are people, and I'd love to get the report. I've never seen the report of who's paying and who's not paying. But I think it's important that we, you know, understand who in the neighborhood should possibly be shamed for not necessarily contributing and actually benefiting from everybody else contributing. And so, anyway, as rising costs go up, obviously these costs of doing that keep going up. And maybe I should be the one that's getting that contract. Maybe I should be the one, because I have a tractor. I could go out and buy myself a tractor and then just pay myself, reimburse myself for the cost of that tractor on a yearly basis for just keeping the road plowed. And when I say plowed, I mean cleared, because the guys that plow it today, we end up getting 3, 4, 5 inches of compacted snow ice. And it's just, that's not a good road. Have you ever ice skated on a road? Anyway, I digress. The whole point is what I'm trying to really convey in going down these compacts in Republic Review. When you start creating a compact and you actually start going down this path of getting all the states on board, as Madison emphasized so many times, because I really went down a rat hole, forgive me. What Madison emphasized so many times is you have to have a majority of those who are players in the compact. Now, to be honest, this compact is a one-off. And what I mean by that is everybody that comes in willingly. You can't be compelled. In other words, if we get seven of you, like if you look at the amendment process, it only requires 3/4. So 38 states can basically change the law, the supreme law of the land, for all 50 states. Now, if one of those 50 states out of the 38 that ratified an amendment says, no, you know what, this is a deal breaker, we're out. We that defies the spirit of this document, then they have a right to secede. So in other words, everybody has to buy in with everything that they do. If an amendment gets ratified and you are in the union, then the only thing you can do is you can initiate the efforts to repeal the amendment or to rescind it if you can get that done. Now, to me, I would say that you're better off staying in this compact with the Constitution and working in trying to get other states to rescind it or basically repeal it. But bottom line, nobody is forced to stay in the compact. I don't care if your Constitution, because the Constitution of Idaho, and so here's the funny thing, because I create a conundrum for people when people come along, because in Montana, they were trying to create these initiatives, voter initiatives, and I said, voter initiatives are unconstitutional. And they said, oh, well, it's in the state constitution. So are you telling me that's unconstitutional? I go, yeah, it's violating the U.S. Constitution. They go, it can't be because it's in our constitution. And I go, okay, I'll give you another one. It's in your constitution. It says you can't secede. It says you're an inseparable part of the union. And that is a violation of the constitution as well. So what else do we want to point out that your state constitution is violating? Fact of the matter is, folks, it violates the fundamental principles of contract law to tell a state, a sovereign state, that it doesn't have the ability to actually secede from the compact that they bought into if they feel like the spirit and everything else has been violated. They haven't been compelled. They have... These constitutions, this is why they all have to be rewritten. All of the Western state constitutions need to be completely rewritten and cleaned up. And as a matter of fact, you know, I hate to tell you this, but there's merit in looking at New York and Virginia and their old original compacts that they created, their constitutions that they created in the late 1700s, early 1800s. About the time of the ratification of the U.S. Constitution. Why? Because that's where they really understood the spirit of it, and then start from there with the enumerated powers and so forth, and then move forward in figuring out what powers you really want to delegate to your state and reserve the rest of those powers to your counties, because your counties are perpetual as well. We'll be right back.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me just really kind of close on this Republic Review, because more and more people really want to know what to do. So if you look at the model, because if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on the homepage, if you go all the way down, you can click on the link that'll take you to the model. And the model will actually give you the details of the flow chart of how Republic Review works. It always starts, and it only needs one state to initiate. Once one state stands up and says, hey, look, we demand a full audit of our compact and initiate this process. Now, there's a lot more to what that means. But, and that's one of the reasons why we've got these two bills, because these two bills create the committees that will initiate the process. And there are certain steps or very specific functions that they need to follow first before they can actually initiate Republic Review. Because bottom line, how can you audit a contract or a compact if you don't understand the compact or contract? Right? I mean, well, we got to whip the compact out, and we got to say, okay, what does all this stuff mean? And we cannot accept the fact of how it's been defined by the federal government, by court cases and so forth. Judges lie, people lie, criminals lie. And so corrupt politicians, hey, guess what? They lie too. So we have to actually go to how it was defined during the ratification debates. Because I'm telling you, folks, that's why we go through them. You'll find clarity in all of those definitions that absolutely refute and articulate a completely different perspective of what these lines mean compared to what we're being told they mean today. So this is how it's been subverted. This is how it's been corrupted. So bottom line, a single state initiates the audit, and then it basically starts going through, you know, what the powers are in the Constitution, what the roles are in the Constitution, responsibilities are, as well as the property, going through and identifying what the federal government can do, and then parsing through all the stuff that they are doing, all the stuff that they have done. And as they basically, you grab something like this ruling on marriage. The Supreme Court ruled that homosexual marriage is a legitimate marriage in the law, as the law of the land. Well, hold on here. There's nowhere in the Constitution where the federal government has any jurisdiction over marriage. They can't make that law. They can't make that ruling. Boom. So it goes into this pile. And I'm telling you, folks, we have a Mount Everest pile of unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, property, and powers. They are exercising so many different powers, roles, responsibilities, and possessing property that they have no constitutional authority to do. So this is how we fix this. Republic Review is the final cleanup process in getting our federal government back to complying to the Constitution. Now, I want to be really clear here. What problems you think we have? Is it taxation? Is it guns? If we get the federal government into compliance, they will be buying and supporting the training of every citizen in the United States in how to own, operate, and man guns. In other words, our public education system should be funded simply because it's right there, folks, that they have a responsibility of equipping and training the militia. That means every person in the state now, boys and girls, will all have to understand, you know, good firearm control, fire. So this means a huge purchase. I mean, if you want to buy stock in businesses right now, gun manufacturing is, if we get into full compliance, you see what I'm saying? If we get into full compliance and the federal government starts buying everybody guns and every kid gets issued a gun for, you know, gun safety, maybe it won't fire because, like ROTC and so forth, they have something in the barrel so that it can't be fired. And so that requires a very specific, you know, tool or what have you to base. And in some cases, they just made them, they're just completely dumb handguns, dumb rifles and so forth, that are inoperable, but they give the person the good feel of what a gun it feels like, the safety, the mechanisms, how they function, that type of thing, so that they understand good safety principles and how to operate those things, because that's what you have to do first before you actually give a gun to somebody and go, okay, go hunting. I remember my grandpa told a story that when he was first, you know, able to go hunting, I think he said he was like 8 years old, 9 years old. And what his father said, because he asked his dad, he goes, "Dad, can I go hunting?" And his dad said, "Well, let me see." And he grabs a gun and they go out and they walk out. He puts a can down on the ground and keeps walking out. And he turns around and he basically hands his son a gun and he says, "Go ahead and shoot that can." And my grandpa said, "Well, if I shoot the can, there's a good chance that the bullet might ricochet and hit the house." And when my great-grandpa saw that my grandpa understood basic firearm safety, he said, "That's good enough." And at 9 years old, he started going out hunting rabbit and what have you. So the point is that the one thing that they're supposed to be educating us on is the thing they're trying to take from us. The one thing that we have this responsibility. So when we look at, you know, these people that say, "Oh, well, our gun rights, we've got to support these things that fight the." Look at how much money is wasted on gun rights instead of constitutional compliance. These organizations that are sucking this up, these may be really smart people, but they're caught up in an organization that is not doing us any good. It's the same thing with all of these other grassroots organizations. But the point is, folks, that regardless of what the problems are, if we get them into compliance, it solves all of our other problems, gets them out of doing things that they're not supposed to do, and makes sure that they do the things that they're supposed to do. Now, let me ask you this. In the grand scheme of things, if we look at getting the federal government into full compliance to the Constitution today, how many generations, especially if we do the due diligence in making sure that things are well ingrained, that we now have monuments that point out the importance of an enumerated constitution and the importance of delegating very specific powers and guarding general powers with our lives, that we never, ever will grant general powers to a government. There's never, ever a point in time that could justify the admission and the administering of general powers upon the people. That is the day that we lose everything. And we see this because they've been doing this gradually and incrementally. So the point is, folks, that as we go through this auditing process and we go through this filtering, then the states have some really tough decisions. What I would encourage you to do is look at the chart, look at the model of Republic Review. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org website and go through that model. It's at the very bottom page of the home page, republicreview.org. You don't have to go to any other page, right at the very bottom. Then once you've looked at that, go back to the home page, and right there we have the bullets of Republic Review. In other words, we go through how each of these steps in this model are functioning. Therefore, you can actually start going through the model with these bullets, and then you can go through the process and start understanding what happens in these different stages and how this really can't be subverted. You can't subvert something contractually. When you do an audit on the contract, if everybody has a copy of the contract and somebody comes along and says, hey, the contract says this and it really doesn't say that, then how is it that anybody else in the room is going to say, hey, that's not what the contract says? Where do you get that contract? That's the wrong contract. It's that easy, folks. Either it's in the contract or it's not. And I think everybody in America has access, and we have such a good duplication of what the Constitution says and what the ratification debates actually stated, that nobody can come along today and rewrite the ratification debates and then all of a sudden distribute them and say, here is the ratification debates. Had somebody done that, then, you know, 100 years ago, had somebody actually grabbed the ratification debates before anybody started looking at them and completely edited them and completely changed them in granting general powers and all of these things, then put them back on the shelf. And then later on, as we come into this, this point in life and point in phase in this nation where we see, you know, our liberties crumbling around us and how everything is just falling, just like dominoes, boom, 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 we would go to the ratification debates and we would be duped and going, wow, they really can do these things. Had they been smart enough to have been able to do that. But this is why the divine hand of providence gave us everything that he did, and he protected those things. And there are certain things that they basically had relied upon, lying, deceit, and obfuscating, and hiding and obscuring the truth. That, folks, the truth still exists, and it's still accessible, and it's readily accessible. We can actually do everything we need. All we have to do is exercise the faith like our framers did. But we don't have to fight a revolution. We have to exercise the faith on those things that were basically given to us by him who inspired this Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming this republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org.
and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.